بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، continue reading, studying and learning about the three fundamental principles, and we have been discussing the issues with regards to al-asl, al-thalith, the third fundamental principle that is incumbent, mandatory, and an obligation for every Muslim to know, for every Muslim to learn, and to understand, and to live upon, and to apply, and to remain upon until one dies. And this third principle here, it is knowing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We have come to the portion of the text. The author, he has mentioned, وَبَعْدَهَا تُوفِيَ صَلَاتُ اللَّهِ وَسَلَامُهُ عَلَيْهِ وَدِينُهُ بَاقٍ وَهَذَا دِينُهُ لَا خَيْرَ إِلَّا دَلَّ الْأُمَّةَ عَلَيْهِ وَلَا شَرَّ إِلَّا حَذَّرَهَا مِنْهُ وَالْخَيْرُ الَّذِي دَلَّ عَلَيْهِ التَّوْحِيدُ وَجَمِيعُ مَا يُحِبُّهُ اللَّهُ وَيَرْضَاهُ والشر الذي حذر منه صلى الله عليه وسلم الشرك وجميع ما يكرهه الله ويأباه. The author, he mentioned after this, and after the affairs that he had mentioned previously, being established in Medina for those 10 years. After those 10 years, he died صلى الله عليه وسلم, but his religion remains, and his deen is standing firm, and his deen, it remains, and this is his deen. And this is his deen, that which has proceeded from the very beginning of this book with regards to the obligation of knowledge and learning and the four affairs and the application of that knowledge likewise and calling to that knowledge and being patient upon that knowledge, establishing the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and worshipping Him alone with no partners and following the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam outwardly and inwardly and having love and taking an allegiance based upon that. Based upon al-ikhlas and tawheed, and based upon al-mutaba'ah, and likewise have an enmity for that, and knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and knowing who one's Lord is, and knowing the deen of al-Islam properly and clearly, وَدِينُهُ بَاقٍ, his religion, it remains, alhamdulillah, his deen, it remains, and this is his deen. And there's no good, the author, he says, rahimahullah, except that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has led the ummah to it. He has shown them and informed them and directed them to it. And there's no evil except that he has warned them from it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the good that he has led to, and the good that he has clarified, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he has directed the ummah to, is at tawheed. The good, al-khayr, is at tawheed. And everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves and is pleased with, at tawheed, and worshipping Allah alone. And everything that Allah loves and is pleased with, meaning worshipping Him in the manner that He is pleased and complying and abiding by His commandments, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and avoiding and staying away from His prohibitions. وَالشَّرُّ الَّذِي حَذَّرَ مِنْهُ, and the evil that He has warned from is shirk, and everything that Allah dislikes, and everything that Allah rejects, and everything that Allah rejects. So we see that our discussion now is on the statement of the author, وَبَعْدَهَا تُوفِيَ Salawatullahi, oh, he says here, وَبَعْدَهَا تُوفِيَ صَلَاتُ اللَّهِ وَسَلَامُهُ عَلَيْهِ, and after that, or after these 10 years, meaning that he died, صلى الله عليه وسلم, تُوفِيَ تُوفِيَ, يعني وفاه الله عز وجل, والوفاة هي الموت, ونهاية الأجل, الوفاة, it means to die, يعني, and that means that a person's term, it comes to an end. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned in His book, لِكُلِّ أَجْلٍ كِتَابٍ, and for every term there is a book, yani, that is prescribed, it is written. الْأَجْلِ الْمُسَمَّ, there's a limit. Everything that Allah has created, all of the people, all of mankind, they have a limit, they have a term. Whenever that term ends, their life is over. Likewise, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's from the creation, and Allah created him as well. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his term was appointed, and his term came. And this is the discussion now. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He informed His Prophet of this and clarifying for the people. And He mentioned in His book, إِنَّكَ مَيِّتٌ وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيِّتُونَ. Verily, you are going to die and verily they are going to die. And likewise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned in His book, وَمَا جَعَلْنَا لِبَشَرٍ مِّن قَبَلِكَ الْخُلْدِ, that we have not made for any human being before you that he would remain forever, and that he would live forever, in eternity. أَفَإِن مِتَّ فَهُمُ الْخَالِدُونَ, and if you die, are they going to live forever? No, just as Allah clarified, rather the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he will die, and he died, but Allah, He mentioned that in his life that he will die, and likewise they will die. The people also will die. As for Ar-Rabb subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَهُوَ حَيٌّ لَا يَمُوتُ. Nam huwa hayyun la yamut. Allah, He is alive and He never dies. Nam Allah, He mentioned kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut, that every soul will taste death. Every soul will taste death. Wa nabluukum bishri wal khayri fitnatan wa ilayna turja'un. We will try you and test you with evil and goodness as a means of a test and trial, examination, and you will return to us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned, He says, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبَلِهِ الرُّسُولِ, that Muhammad, He is nothing more than a messenger, like the messengers that have preceded Him, that have passed previously. أَفَإِنْ مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلَ إِنْقَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ عَقَابِكُمْ, if He died, or if He is killed, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will you turn back on your heels? Will you turn back on your heels? وَمَنْ يَنْقَلِبْ عَلَىٰ عَقِبَيْهِ فَلَنْ يَضُرَّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا, and whoever turns back on his heels, then verily this will not harm Allah whatsoever. This will not harm Allah whatsoever. And turn back on his heels, meaning turning away from the deen. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was a man. And Allah, He warned the people, and He informed them that he will die. And He also warned them that if he died, you should not turn back on your deen. Rather, you should continue. And the deen of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it remains. All a believer has to do is learn his deen and follow it, and hold fast to it, and seek the aid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَسَيَجْزِي اللَّهُ الشَّاكِرِينَ, and verily Allah, He will recompense those who are thankful, and those who show appreciation. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he died. And he died from a sickness. And he became, in the end of his life, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he became sick. And what has been mentioned with regards to this is that in the seventh year of the Hijrah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they had a battle in Khaybar. And Khaybar was under the authority of the Jews, of the Yahud. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he went there and he conquered that land. And in the seventh year, him and his companions, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, wa radiyallahu anhum. And at this time, there was a Jewish woman, Yahudiya, and she had prepared a grilled sheep for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and cooked it. And she put poison in it. And she filled that sheep with poison, the meat of that gift that she's giving, because it is known that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, يقبل الصدقة ولا يقبل يقبل لا يقبل الصدقة ويقبل الهدية. النبي sallallahu alayhi wasallam, يقبل الهدية ولا يقبل الصدقة. He does not accept charity, but he accepts gifts. This woman, this Yahudiya, she gave him a gift, and it was food. And she cooked it, and she prepared it, and she put poison in it. And it's mentioned that she put extra poison in the shoulder part of the animal, and the dhira', and the arm, and the shoulder of the animal, because this is the portion that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he preferred. And she gave this to him, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he accepted that. فَأَكَلَ مِنْهَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wasallam وَأَكَلَ الْقَوْمِ. So the Prophet, he ate from it, and likewise the people, they ate from it. And then he said sallallahu alayhi wasallam, اِرْفَعُوا أَيْدِيَكُمْ فَإِنَّهَا أَخْبَرَتْنِي أَنَّهَا مَسْمُومَةً. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, raise your hands from it, for verily it has informed me that it is poisoned. And it's mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he just took a small taste of the food, and he was not able to swallow it. But one of his companions ate from it, and he died. And he died, radiyallahu anhu. But the effects of that poison was not seen on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam immediately. And it was not seen on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam immediately. And the Prophet asked the woman, and she confessed. And he asked, why did she do that? And she said, to test. If you are a prophet, then it's not going, if you're really a prophet, it will not harm you. And if you are a king trying to take over the land, then we'll be free from your harm. They will be free from your harm. And then in one word, she mentioned that she said, why, they said, why did you do that? She said, she wants to kill him. She wanted to kill him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But in any case, the Prophet, he did not harm her on his behalf. But rather, whenever he was informed, and he let her go. They asked what they should do with her, and he let her go. And he let her go, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But after it was clear that one of his companions died from that, then at that time she was executed for his life, a life for a life, at the ruling of Allah, not taking revenge for his own self and the harm that was brought to him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or intended for him, but rather because this is the rule of Allah, and this is the law of Allah, and this is the Sharia of Allah. So then he established that ruling for the sake of Allah, subhanahu with the ayah. This hadith is found in Bukhari and Muslim, likewise in Sunan Abi Dawood. The ulama, they mentioned that the wisdom behind the issue that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was not affected by the poison immediately. He was not affected by it immediately, so that the people will know that he's truly the Messenger of Allah. That he informed the people that it was poisoned, and it found and come to find out it was truly poisoned, just as he informed them, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he took from it just as they did, but it did not affect him. It did not affect him any immediately, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And likewise, from the wisdom behind that, the ulama, they mentioned this is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the seventh year, and Allah is still sending revelation and completing the deen by or at the hands of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So therefore, he kept his strength, and this did not affect him. And this did not affect him. And in order for them to know that he's truly the Messenger of Allah, and that he truly receives that revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he has protection from Allah. And likewise, in order for Allah to complete the deen, and he at the hands of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But although this poison did not affect him in the beginning of this issue, but rather in the end of his life, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after the legislation was completed, it did take effect, and it caused him much harm, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he died from this poison. And it's mentioned that Aisha, she said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to her in the end of his life, "Ya Aisha, ma ziltu ajidu alam ta'ami الذي أكلت بخيبر هذا أوان هذا أوان وجدت انقطاع أبهري من ذلك السم." He said, "O Aisha, I am still finding the pain from that food that I ate at Khaybar, and this is time for me to die." The meaning of the word, for me to die from that poison. And so this is in the end of his life, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He began to feel the effects of the poison, and it took hold in him, and he became sick. And also the ulama, they mentioned as well with regards to this, that the fact that in the beginning it did not harm him, but later it did. And this is so that he could also have the status of a shahada, and it can be a shaheed, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he died from this poison and from the enemy and those who are seeking to harm him. So he has this high rank likewise, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He is a prophet, and he is a martyr, and he is a martyr. So it's mentioned that this was in Khaybar, which is the seventh year of the Hijrah, and that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he lived for 3 years after that. He lived for 3 years after that. And at this time, after this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he began to go to Al-Baqi' Al-Gharqad. Al-Baqi' Al-Gharqad, this is the cemetery and the graveyard that is next to Al-Masjid Al-Nabawi. And he began to go there often, and he would seek forgiveness for the Shuhada and the martyrs of Uhud. And he would go there often, and he would return, and the likes like this, and he would, it's as if he's bidding farewell to the deceased from his ummah, and likewise those who are alive. So he would go to the cemetery next to his masjid, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, known as Al-Baqi', and he would seek forgiveness for the martyrs and for his companions who had died and they were buried there. And he would ask Allah to have mercy on them and to forgive them. And this is likewise from his kindness and his care and his concern for his ummah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It has been narrated also from Aisha, radiyallahu anha. She says, "Raja'a ilayya an-nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wasallam dhat yawmin min janazatin min al-baqi'." That the Prophet, he returned to me one day after a funeral prayer, after bearing a funeral in al-Baqi'. وَوَجَدَنِي وَأَنَا أَجِدُ السُّدَاءً وَأَنَا أَقُولُ وَارَأْسًا. And he found me, and he came back from the burial, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she says, and he found me while I have a headache. And I'm saying, oh, my head hurts. وَارَأْسًا. This is what somebody says, يعني أتوجعُ من ألم الرأس. يعني meaning that the person is finding pain in their head. وَارَأْسًا. She's saying this. And then she said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, at this time he said himself, "Bal ana ya Aisha wa ra'sa," but rather me, O Aisha, my head is hurting, my head is hurting. And likewise, she mentioned at the end of this narration that she said, radiyallahu anha, thumma budiya fi waj'ihi alladhi mata fihi. And then at this time, he began his sickness that he died in. So this was the beginning, or from the beginning of the sickness that he died in, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This narration has been mentioned in Bukhari, and likewise in Ibn Majah, also in Sunan Ad-Darimi, and the likes. So Aisha radiallahu anha, she mentioned this issue, how it began. It began like this with a headache, and then after this, the issue, it began to get worse. And to get worse, and to get worse. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whenever he was in the sickness that he died in at this time, he's still sharing the nights with his women. And he would go to his wife's house, each wife, on the day that was prescribed for them, and that the day that was the day specific for them, and he would go in this manner. But as he was doing this, his sickness is getting more severe, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he would say, "Aina ana ghadan, aina ana ghadan," where am I going to be tomorrow, where am I going to be tomorrow? And he's saying this to indicate that he is waiting for the day of Aisha so he can go to her house, radiyallahu anha. He would say it like this, not directly indicating that he's seeking permission for him to stay there and for them to back down from their right, the rest of his wives, but he's saying that, indicating this, "Aina ana ghadan, aina ana ghadan," and he wants to be in the home of Aisha, and he wants to be with Aisha and spend his time there, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And it's like he's waiting for her day to come, and as if it's not coming quick enough, and he would say this. And then likewise, his فَأَذِنَ لَهُ النِّسَاءُهُ أَنْ يَكُونَ حَيْثُ يَشَاءُ. Now after this, the women, his wives, they allowed him to be where he liked to be, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then also, it has been narrated as well, these narrations are from Aisha, and likewise this one, she said, لَمَّا ثَقُلَ النَّبِي sallallahu alayhi wasallama وَاشْتَدَّ بِهِ وَجُعُهُ اسْتَأْذَنَ أَزْوَاجَهُ في أن يمرض في بيتي فأذن له. She said that whenever the sickness became very severe, and it became worse, and he sought permission from his wives that he could be treated and deal with his sickness in her house, in Aisha's house, radiallahu anha. So his wives, they allowed him, or permitted this. They permitted this, yani, to they back, meaning they had their right. Instead of giving their right, they allowed for their right to be ignored or in this manner, and they allowed for him to stay, and agreed for him to stay in Aisha's house, radiallahu anha. It's mentioned that at this time he was in the house, he was in the house of Maymuna. He was in the house of Maymuna, and then whenever her time came, he sought permission to stay in the house of Aisha, radiyallahu anha. Likewise, she mentioned, فخرج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بين رجلين تخط رجلاه في الأرض بين عباس And also it's mentioned Wa Ali radiyallahu anhuma. Then also at this time, one day the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he went out to the people. And he went out to the people to lead them in prayer and to speak with them. But at this time his sickness is becoming very strong and is getting very severe, and he's not able to walk by himself. So two men would carry him and his feet would drag on the ground, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And it's mentioned that these two men were Abbas and Ali radiyallahu anhuma. And before this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would say hariqu alayya min sab'i kirab, that he would say pour seven water skins on me, and because his from his sickness is that he would have a fever and he would be hot, a very very high temperature, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said la'alli a'hidu ila an-nas. He said pour the seven water skins on me, and he took cool him down. He said, oh, so that I can go out and speak to the people. Thumma ujlisa fi mikhdabin li Hafsa tazawja an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, thumma tafiqna nasubu alayhi tilka hatta tafiqa yushiru ilayna an qad fa'altunna. She mentioned Aisha radiallahu anha that at this time he would be sent in a large pan where they would wash the clothing, and then that would belong to Hafsa. It's called mikhdab, a large vessel for washing clothing. And they would started to pour the water on him until he would point to them and indicate to them that was enough, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And likewise, this is in Bukhari and as well in one wording, Bukhari Muslim in one wording. Likewise, she said that he thumma kharaja. This wording is in Bukhari. ثُمَّ خَرَجَ إِلَىٰ النَّاسِ فَصَلَّ لَهُمْ. And then he went out to the people and he prayed and led them in prayer. فَصَلَّ لَهُمْ وَخَطَبَهُمْ. And he prayed with them and he gave them a sermon. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. These are in the end days of his life. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this sermon that he gave them has been narrated to us likewise from the hadith of Abi Sa'id al-Khudri, and portions of it from other companions as well. But Abu Sa'id radiallahu anhu, this is collected by Imam Muslim, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this khutbah here, whenever he left, whenever he's sick, and whenever his sickness began to get worse and worse, he jalasa ala minbar, he came and he sat on the minbar, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he would say inni abra'u illallah. He would say this part, a portion of it, he would say abdun. This is what he mentioned, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He came to the people and in his khutbah he said, عَبْدٌ خَيَّرَهُ اللَّهُ بَيْنَ أَنْ يُؤْتِيَهُ زَهْرَةَ الدُّنْيَا وَبَيْنَ مَا عِنْدُهُ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came to the minbar and he said that there is a servant that Allah has given him the choice. Either he will give him the delight and the beauty of this life, or he will give him that which is with him. Meaning there's a slave, the Prophet ﷺ, there's a servant, abdun, that Allah has given him the choice between obtaining the glitter and the delight and the pleasure and the beauty of this life, or he can have that which is with him, and he meaning that which is with Allah. فَاخْتَارَ مَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, that slave, that servant, that individual, he chose that which is with Allah. That which is with Allah. At this time, baka Abu Bakr wa baka radiyallahu anhu. Abu Bakr, he began to cry and to cry, meaning he cried very hard at this moment. So, and he said, fadaynaka bi abaina wa ummahatina ya Rasulullah. Now he said that verily we will ransom our fathers and mothers for you, O Messenger of Allah. We'll ransom our fathers and mothers for you, O Messenger of Allah, meaning before you're ever harmed, we will prefer for our mothers and fathers to be in your place being harmed and you be safe. And he mentioned this, radiallahu anhu. So he's crying, and in one wording, the people looked at him, and they said, "What's wrong with the sheikh?" And then he's telling us about there's a slave who was given a choice of this life and that which is with Allah, and he chose that which is with Allah. Yani many of the people, they did not understand that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he is that slave. He is that slave that has been given that choice. And he is the one who has chosen that which is with Allah, indicating that he is going to die soon, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he understood that. He understood that. Naam, and in one wording likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, La tabki Abu Bakr. Don't cry. Don't cry, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So after this, Abu Sa'id, he says, فَكَانَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ هُوَ الْمُخَيِّرُ. So it come to, they find out that the Prophet or the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he is the one who was given the choice. He is the one who was given the choice. So عَبْدٌ خَيِّرَ اللَّهُ خَيَّرَهُ اللَّهُ, and he is that slave that he is referring to. He is that slave individual, that slave person that is being referred to in this narration. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, إِنَّ أَمَنَّ النَّاسِ عَلَيَّ فِي مَالِهِ وَصُحْبَتِهِ أَبُو بَكَرٍ. He said, verily, in his khutbah, and this is the last khutbah he's giving here on the minbar, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, verily, the most generous people and the kindest and the most generous people to me with his wealth and with his companionship is Abu Bakr. وَلَوْ كُنْتُ مُتَخِذًا خَلِيلًا اتَّخَذْتُ أَبَا بَكْرًا خَلِيلًا. And if I were going to take someone as a khalil, I would take Abu Bakr as a khalil. وَلَكِنْ أَخُوَّةُ الْإِسْلَامِ. But rather the brotherhood of Al-Islam. وَلَا تُبْقَيَنَّ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ خَوْقَةٌ إِلَّا خَوْقَةَ أَبِي بَكْرٍ. And there should be no khawqa left in the masjid except the khawqa of Abi Bakr. The khawqa is a small door that they used to go through from their homes entering the masjid. And the masjid was surrounded by their homes, and their homes would be facing the masjid, and they would have doors from a portion of their house, a small door that's called khawqa, khawqatun, and they would go out of that door to go to the masjid. But at this time, at the end of the Prophet's life, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he commanded that all the doors be locked and closed and blocked to the masjid, and the only one that's left open is the door of Abu Bakr. Is the door of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and this is all an indication that Abu Bakr, he is the Khalifa after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then he will take the reins of the da'wah, and he will be in charge and in command over the believers, and he will carry the banner of at-tawheed after him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And likewise, from this also has been narrated from Aisha that as well, or even before this, there is one wording, excuse me, from Jundub ibn Abdullah al-Bajali, radiallahu anhu, that he said he heard the same khutbah, and he said, benefit here, قَبَلَ أَنْ يَمُوتَ بِخَمْسٍ, that he heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam making this khutbah before he died by 5 days. So this is in the end of his life, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And likewise, at this time now, his sickness became more severe, and soon he will not even be able to stand to pray. And this has been mentioned, and Aisha radiallahu anha, she says, أَمَرَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَبَا بَكْرًا يُصَلِّي بِالنَّاسِ فِي مَرَضِهِ فَكَانَ يُصَلِّي بِهِمْ. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he commanded and ordered Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to lead the people in prayer during his sickness. And Abu Bakr, he used to lead them in prayer. He used to lead them in prayer radiallahu anhu. And even in the beginning, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would tell Aisha to tell the people, Muru Abu Bakr an yusalli bin nas. Muru Abu Bakr wa yusalli bin nas. Command Abu Bakr for him to pray with the people. And Aisha, she would say, Inna Abu Bakr rajulun asif idha salla bin nas la yusmi'uhum al-Qur'an. That verily Abu Bakr, he is somebody who has a soft heart, and he cries a lot, and if he recites the Qur'an, the people will not be able to hear him. She's trying to protect her father, and she's afraid that whoever would take the position of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they would have bad thoughts about him, or it would be much hardship and difficulty for him. So she was hoping to protect her father. But, and this is why she mentioned that, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told her many times, and in the end, his order was executed, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he became the imam, and he would lead them in the prayer. And then likewise, one day, During these days, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he felt light and he felt like the sickness is going away, and he stood up and he went out to pray with the people, and he found Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu leading the people in prayer. And whenever the Abu Bakr saw him, he went to back up, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told him, "No, stay in your place, makanaka, makanaka, or ashara ilayhi, and kama anta, and you stay there just as you are." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he sat parallel to Abu Bakr next to him. And Abu Bakr, he prayed by the prayer of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the people prayed according to the prayer of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And Abu Bakr, he would make the takbir and the likes like this so the people could hear. This was at this time. After this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his sickness became much worse. And we continue, inshallah, in the next class. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.